Welcome to another BlindBargains.com exclusive audio podcast brought to you by the AT Guys, your assistive technology experts. Visit ATGuys.com today for all your technology needs. Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
J.J. Meadow here from Blind Bargains, and we are here with Dominic Gagliano, VP of Sales for the United States for Humanware, and Greg Stilson, a product and support specialist for Humanware, and we have a lot of cool new things to talk about. Welcome to Blind Bargains.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for taking the time to meet with us.
Sure. Well, we might as well start out with the big thing that everybody's been talking about. This I have right here. This is the first time I've seen a Braille Note Apex. It's definitely a lot thinner than the other note takers, as you guys have been talking about. So why don't you go ahead and Dominic or whoever wants to.
Sure. I'll start off by first when we actually took it out of the case and put the Victor Reader Stream right next to it, we realized that it's the same depth or height of the unit.
Thickness, right.
And so I guess the first thing you'll notice is it's really thin and sleek.
About an inch thick?
Yeah, I think so.
0.8. Inches.
There you go, the technical expert here.
All right.
We've gotten away from the lime green colors and tried to make it really professional. So I've got my Dell laptop next to me, and it matches beautifully with that. It's black and silver, so it looks very professional.
One of the biggest things you'll see, one of the newest features that we implemented is in the center here, JJ, is the scroll wheel.
Right.
And we kind of took a page out of some of the other manufacturers' books, you know, iPods and things like that. Have something kind of similar, and basically what it is if you need to get down through a menu or a document, you can quickly spin that to the right or to the left, and you can choose to go word by word, line by line, whatever you want to do.
It looks like a little six. There's six points coming out of the wheel, and you could kind of put your fingernail or in any of them and kind of spin it around.
Mm-hmm.
I see. And then there's also the four directional buttons on right around the side of it, too.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got your enter key in the middle.
Okay.
And it's also really cool because we kind of, when we're dealing with the book reader in the Apex now, we kind of took a page out of the Victor Reader and used this sort of as the navigation, some of the navigation effects. So if I want to start the thing, the book playing, you can hit the center button in that circle, kind of like you hit the play button on a stream, things like that. Basically, we wanted to kind of minimize the learning curve for those people who have a stream or whatever, and they want to read books on their Apex or, you know, vice versa, kind of make everything kind of synchronized.
So, okay.
That's just one of the features. You can use it in every application on the Apex, and it has different functions for each application. But it's something that, you know, everybody at first who have been an Empower user, they look at it and they say, well, what am I going to use this for? But after a while of using it, you kind of, I've been a Braille Note user since 2000, and I kind of looked at it a little strangely at first, but now I find myself navigating through menus partially because you can just do it with one hand. You don't have to have two hands on the keyboard to be able to
right,
use the
kind of the equivalent of space and dot one, space and
exactly.
And you can still use those commands, all the traditional commands that you've used in the past with the thumb keys or the combination of dot one and four works fine.
One of the biggest things that Keysoft has, and just for those who aren't familiar with what Keysoft is, Keysoft's the interface that the Braille Note has been using for the, you know, many years, and actually Keysoft was developed even before then, used on laptops and things like that to kind of make the interface or the operating system much easier for people to use without having to memorize a bunch of commands. And Keysoft has been really famous for giving people choices on how they want to control the device, and this is just one extra control that we implemented for the Apex.
Okay. And we see what else we have on. You have stereo speakers on the top, and what are those buttons on the front of those?
The ones below the speakers?
Yes.
These are all your cursor router keys down here.
And below the Braille display on the front.
Oh, those are the thumb keys for navigation.
Keys. Okay.
Right.
Yep. Sure. And that was one of the biggest things that people... We did a bunch of focus groups when we were developing this device, starting very, very early on in the phase, and we spoke from anywhere from professionals to teachers to students, and their number one thing that they wanted was don't take away our thumb keys. Everybody loves how it feels to be able to read across that display and tap one of the thumb keys to move your display forward or back. It's been...
Sure, and they're positioned in such a way that you could easily... do both of that.
Exactly.
Why don't you talk about some of the new connectivity options that have been added in the Apex?
Sure. So we built in Bluetooth and wireless onboard the device, so no longer do you have to plug in an extra CF card in the back to get wireless internet. Mm-hmm. Implemented with the upgraded operating system and horsepower of the device, we now have the ability to really develop that and go forward on and give us the ability to kind of do some forward development so that as the industry standards change, we can also implement new changes into the Apex, whereas with our prior platforms, we kind of hit the ceiling of what we could do. And so this device, we had a lot of forward thinking involved when developing it and things like that. And so it's really going to be fun to see what we can kind of come up with for the features in the future. So the Bluetooth is, in just to kind of compare it, in the past you had to initiate all the Bluetooth pairings or connections from the device, from the Braille Node M-Power. Mm-hmm. With the new Bluetooth stack that we have implemented in the Apex, you can decide to connect it. Like, for instance, I was using it as a Bluetooth Braille display. And JJ, you can probably attest, as thin as that is, it feels very similar to using a standard Braille display with a laptop. I was using it as a Bluetooth Braille display, and all I did is on my laptop, I found the Apex, connected to it, and it was just, a piece of cake to connect to. You didn't have to do any commands on the Apex to make it work, so...
What about the ability to, as far as Bluetooth file support, has that been added in?
As of right now, we have the same version of Keysoft that was on the M-Power.
Okay.
And so basically step one was porting it over to the new interface, the new operating system, and also the new technology that's inside the Apex. And so once we have a stable platform established, which we believe we're well on our way to doing, we can then go forward with future developments, and that's definitely one thing that people have been requesting. But if you feel in the back, the nice thing about the Apex is you have a standard, or I'm sorry, a SD and SDHC SD card slot in the back. You also have three USB ports that even and Bluetooth file sharing is not always the fastest to transfer. So
that's true.
When you're dealing with file transfers, if you want to throw a thumb drive, I connected a 500 gigabyte hard drive into the back of that. Was able to transfer files very quickly. So,
is there enough power to power the USB powered hard drive?
There's certain hard drives that are able to do that. There's I believe Western Digital has an older hard drive that was an 80 gig. I can't even remember. I think it was a Maxter, if I remember right. It was an older model that I was using. I can't remember that. Mm-hmm. I was able to connect with no problem. Some of the newer hard drives were working in kind of what they've done to. They have, newer revisions in their hard drives. Every time, a company has to come out with a new device, they make small changes. And so they did something with their power management that our developers are currently working on to determine what kind of horsepower we need to
drive. Passport drives.
Yeah, exactly. So, but virtually any powered hard drive works pretty flawlessly with the Apex.
As well as your standard thumb drives, U3 drives?
U3 drives... is yes and no, and the reason being is because we're still dealing with the same version of Keysoft that we had before.
Right.
And so because we haven't made any changes to that interface or that operating part of the device, as of right now, if they didn't work in the M-Power, they're not going to work in the Apex. But in the future, like I said, once we have that stable platform, that's definitely one of the high priorities on our list.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we talk about what is coming in Keysoft. And I understand there is an update coming down for it.
Yep. So the number one thing that everybody's been asking about is Microsoft Word full support, 2007 documents, things like that. Mm-hmm. And that has been promised for all Apex purchases, people who buy an Apex. You will get the first software maintenance agreement, the SMA, for free.
Okay.
And so a lot of people are asking, new devices often have bugs and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's sort of your insurance policy, is that... when you buy an Apex, you're going to get the first software version that's going to have all those bug fixes for free. And what we're also doing is we have a new Keysoft maintenance release, which is not the SMA. It's just a maintenance release for those people who did, go out and buy an Apex right away. That addresses a lot of the bugs and the small things that people have come up with that have brought to our attention. It's just sort of our way of showing you that we listen to you. We listen to you, the customers, and we come in and we are coming out with a maintenance release, you know, barely 2 months after the device has come out. So
sure.
That, you know, we should be seeing that coming very soon down the line. So. And just to touch on the upgrading procedure for those who have not upgraded the Apex, if you're not an MPower or a BrailleNote user in general, you're going to just originally find this very, very similar. And for those people who have a Victor Reader Stream, you're going to find it very similar to the way you would upgrade a stream. It's literally as easy as putting a file on a thumb drive, an SD card, whatever portable media you want to use.
Okay.
And just pressing the reset button. So gone are the days of having to find a specific size SD card, memorizing a specific procedure of commands to do it. You literally just put a file on a drive and hit the reset button.
Yeah, I noticed that we were getting requests on my bargains for 512 meg SD cards, and kind of scratching our heads like, And they turn out to cost more than the 4 gig cards.
Exactly, yep. So it's a breath of fresh air to be able to do something that simple and... so that's one of the bigger features. And then one other thing I'd like to touch on is if you feel on the back, JJ, we also put a VGA port for several of our students who are working in classrooms, even blind professionals who would like a sighted individual to maybe proof a document or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is plug in a VGA monitor to the back of the Apex, and you'll be able to see everything that you're doing on the Apex. So. Makes life.
Is it a pretty visual interface, or is it just text? Or?
It's all text based, so there is no GUI aspect to it.
Understandable,
right? But we found one of the biggest things our teachers have asked for is make it simple for us, and so we wanted to give just straight text. And so if you can see exactly what's going on with the document, they can do proofreading and say go to this word or this line, and they can actually see what's going on in the actual interface.
Well, there goes the days like when I was a kid and I used to play around with my note taker and during class and say I was working.
Those kids are the teachers are on to you now.
All right. What about the voice? Is it still the Keynote voice, or have you upgraded that?
We have both options, Keynote and Eloquence.
Okay.
And so you have your choice.
Okay.
Actually, in the this next build that we're going to release, we'll have a Eloquence for Spanish, which is supported on this as well.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of a new addition in that.
Would that be for all customers, or just for that a special add-on?
This is for the 9.01 for the Apex.
So the maintenance release, when you install that, it's for every customer that installs that build.
So you don't have to purchase a special Spanish
language. Nope.
No, we back in, I think it was Keysoft version 7, we stopped charging for the multilingual languages.
Okay.
It was either 7 or 7.5.
7.5.
Right. But it's all built into Keysoft, so you didn't need to purchase it or need an authorization key or anything to initiate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's, we have Spanish, French, Italian, and German.
Yep, correct.
So the new Keysoft, and it's based on, it's a Keysoft 6 now? That you're based on?
Windows CE 6. Yep, exactly. And Windows, just to touch on that, Windows CE is different. A lot of people hear Windows CE and they think Windows Mobile, and that's a common misconception.
Right.
Windows CE is basically for portable devices, but it's not designed specifically for a cell phone. Windows Mobile is actually running, I believe, a version of Windows CE 5, if I remember right. And
sure.
So Windows CE 6 is like brand new off the shelf, and so that's part of that forward thinking that we were talking about. We wanted to get as make it as future proof as we possibly could.
Okay. So what about the MPower PK users? What do they have coming to them?
We promised when we developed the Apex that the MPower platform, the prior BrailleNote and PK and things like that, would have two SMAs coming. So they still have two software versions, and we realize that, you know, we still find that we have people using BrailleNote Classics from 2000, and that's meeting their needs. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to stop. We have to put our resources towards the future. You're not going to see Windows, you know, Microsoft supporting Windows 2000 or 98 anymore.
So the MPower users, they'll get some of the upgrades, but they wouldn't get like the more 2007 support.
Well, I couldn't tell you what they're going to get. It all depends on kind of what our platform is going to allow for us. Yep.
Okay. Are those going to be, are those SMA counts for the MPower then? Or?
Yes, they will be.
Right.
Okay. And for the PK?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So you do, but there is an upgrade option for a trade-in option for those who have an Empower PK or.
There is actually. We started off with shipping the first Apex the very, very end of November for our dealers, our reseller network.
Right.
And then we started shipping to customers the month of December. And we also began taking some trade-ins of Braille Note Classics, Braille Note Empower, and PK units. And it's interesting because as we talk about the PK, we've had PK users really look at the Apex seriously because of its small size, its lightweight, and the powerfulness of the machine. So it'll be interesting to follow that trend to see if a lot of people switch over to the Apex or people still want to hold on to the PK.
Sure.
Obviously, there's the advantage of the PK being so small and being able to fit in your pocket.
Right.
But we've had a lot of interest from PK users to switch over. Another thing that we're going to announce the very beginning of February, we'll start accepting competitive trade-ins of other note-taking products. So there's still a lot of people who have Braille Speaks and Braille Lights. We've gotten calls from people with Braille Sense and also PacMate units.
So you'll take them all the way back to the Braille and Speak?
Well, yes.
Obviously, varying
amounts of... just to give you an idea of how thin and small this device is, I took it out of the case.
Okay.
And go ahead and just pick it up and hold it. You can see exactly how thin and small.
Than an inch. You can hold it in the palm of one hand if you really want to. And
the biggest thing that I love about it is with one laptop bag, I can put this and my laptop side by side in there, and it fits perfectly and still gives me room to carry around accessories and things like that.
Sure.
So,
and for those of you who are curious about how the keys sound,
the depth is really, the keys are not as high.
Yeah.
We did several studies. In fact, I can tell you now that a year ago, the product manager brought three or four different prototypes with keyboards of the Apex, and we had different people that were sworn in to confidentiality and tested different keyboards, and they were opinions kind of came together on this, but we didn't want such a high key, and we wanted keys that could be a little bit softer. So I think as you start to braille on it, you'll find you really don't have to press that hard, and it can be pretty quiet.
For those of you who are using an Apex, though, the keys do feel slightly different. We still use the same Braille Note style key, but for those of you who are used to brailing at a million miles an hour on the Empower, just remember that it is a new keyboard. It still is a new device, even though it feels like the old one.
Right.
And so you will have a learning curve with typing on the keyboard. And a lot of people, not a lot, but there's been a few people that I've talked to when I've been taking calls on support where they say, I find myself making more mistakes. And I said, well, if you bought a new laptop, you find yourself making more mistakes.
Right.
Different style keyboard. So, but I've been using it for about a year now, and I'm back to what I used to be doing. So,
what's the CPU that's being used, or the speed of it?
That's a really good question.
It's one of those tech questions.
It is. I want to say it's something like 600 megahertz, but I honestly I can't remember,
right.
JJ.
That's fine.
But I think it's up on our specs sheet up on our website.
Sure.
If you want to take a look.
I'm pretty sure it is. All right. Well, there's definitely a lot to talk about with the Apex, but it's certainly not all that you guys have been up to lately. There's also an update for the Victor Stream coming out soon.
That is correct. Stream 3.1 for the Victor Stream platform. There's some things that I don't even know what's coming out, to be honest with you,
right.
yet. But one of the biggest things, I know one of the bigger things that a lot of people have been asking for is multi-level navigation on the digital talking bookshelf.
Okay.
Right now, all you can do with that bookshelf is just put basically a list of however many books you want. With Stream 3.1, you can actually use subdirectories and organize your books into different things.
Okay.
You can do that right now in the music bookshelf and things like that,
right.
with your music, but a lot of people wanted it with the, you know, genres or authors of books and things like that. And so
sure.
we implemented that. If I remember right, we're dealing with support for EPUB. Google's making it really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Books, it's just a different form of download, but it's a mainstream download. And that's a lot of college students and things like that are starting to download their books off of that. And so the EPUB format, I believe, we're working on as well. So there's a lot more features that are available, and Dominic may have some information on that yet.
Well, right. And I mean, of course, we've been, a lot of people get content and reading material from Bookshare and also RFB&D.
Sure.
RFB&D is moving towards our Audio Plus and download. But there are a lot of people that are still accustomed to using CDs from RFB&D. So we've actually worked with a manufacturer of a CD accessory player, and we're built into 3.1 for the stream. There's support for the CD player. So a person will be able to connect a CD player,
okay.
One that's been modified, so it needs to be our unit.
Okay, so it can't be any USB.
When we started testing, actually connecting them, we fried a bunch of streams. So we don't use any stream that or CD player that you can find out there. We've actually had our manufacturer modify the power supply on this unit.
I see.
So it plugs into the stream, and then your CD is in there. It starts playing that book that's on the CD,
okay.
So you know what CD you have in, and then you press the 3 key to copy it over. So it's very much like what we've done with the NLS cartridge.
I see.
And we'll offer that package as the Stream CD edition, and the price will be, I think it's $4.49, so it's $100 more with the CD. And if you buy the CD by itself, there's a little bit of a premium, $129. So actually, okay. You save if you buy it as a whole package.
Sure, but for those people that are looking to add on to their current stream.
Another thing we're going to announce beginning February 1st is that every stream that's purchased will include a 2 gig SD card. So that's a super thing. It won't be an optional item anymore.
Sure. Well, you know, some of the dealers have been including them in some.
Right. 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 At first, we thought people would want to source their own in different sizes and all of that, and I think that was fine. But we, now that we're starting to sell a lot into the educational market or people that are using our library edition for the stream, the library edition consists of the stream, the SD card, and the NLS cartridge. They didn't have the stream in the package, so we included it with the library edition, and it makes sense that we do it with the stream by itself, because we will also do it with the CD edition.
Sure.
So all streams will come with an SD card now.
I see.
Just like a camera, ready to go.
Right. Is that going to be a free update, the 3.1?
3.1 will be a free upgrade, as all the upgrades have been with the stream.
Okay. How much further do you feel can you take the hardware for the stream? I know now competition has definitely heated up over the last year with...
Well, we were the first ones out there, weren't we?
Yep.
And, you know, the stream is maybe going on 2 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's been very, very successful for us. But we know that other companies have come out with different products with some very good features. And, you know, we have a roadmap, and there's, you know, the stream will continue on just as the Braille Note has for 10 years. So, I can't tell secrets, but yes,
whatever you call it.
Right. It's on the roadmap.
Sure, absolutely.
Might be a long road, there are definitely plans for the future.
And you said you're anticipating that update sometime in February?
The stream software upgrade, right, 3.1, correct.
Yeah. Would there be a new companion software for that too, or is that...
There will be, yep. We're working on companion software developed specifically for Windows 7 and to make that completely compatible. Right now you can actually, I believe you can actually install the companion on Windows 7, but you have to do some workarounds.
Sure.
I think you have to install it into the My Documents folder or something like that, as opposed to installing it on the program file. Windows 7 does some strange things with permissions and things like that. So this will be a very, very streamlined operation for installation for Windows 7. It's just going back to your question about the future developments for the stream. The biggest thing that I notice when I've been kind of asking people why they've been choosing the stream is strictly the, you know, that one, I never thought the human voice for the bookshelf and the talking about things like that would be so popular, but everybody, when they hit that number one key and hear the bookshelf spoken by a human voice, people for some reason really, really enjoy that. And so I said, well, that's great. But then also the tactile keypad, everybody seems to love our buttons on the stream. And then The last thing is having a fast forward, rewind, and play button on the bottom, just like a tape player. People just easy to find. The learning curve on the stream is something that everybody seems to really enjoy, to not have to memorize a ton of commands and things like that. So,
okay. So, all right, we'll be expecting that in just a matter of weeks, I guess. There's more. there's an update for the Trekker Breeze.
Yes, and this one...
You used that this morning,
didn't
you?
I did. I used that this morning. And the Trekker Breeze is, you know, it's something that we came up with, what, 2 years ago? No, a year and a half ago, I guess.
Was that CSUN?
CSUN...
in 08.
Right.
Yep.
Right,
so yeah. It'll be almost 2 years. And the Breeze is, for those of you who aren't familiar, the Breeze is a all-in-one GPS device. Very simple to use. The biggest thing is also the learning curve on that. You basically turn it on, and there's 9 buttons on the device, and they all, it's designed specifically for one-handed usage. So, mm-hmm. You know, gone are the days of having to memorize Control-Shift-F4 to do different things, and et cetera. So, but the biggest thing that we've implemented in this version of the Breeze is a different voice, and I believe I can do
yeah, something. It's actually it's a new text-to-speech, and it's actually clearer and louder.
Yeah, and I can give you a sneak peek of it. This is the new and improved Samantha.
All right.
So just give me 1 second here, and I'll have her boot up here.
It's going to be a free update?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And actually, the English-speaking voices
initializing Breeze.
U.S. and the U.K.
Battery
voices.
Full.
Yeah.
No GPS coverage.
So right now we're inside, but I don't know if, JJ, you've heard the Samantha voice, but that's
sure.
A little better, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We've also implemented a new Daniel as well, which is the U.K. version. And he definitely sounds British, but he's very clear, and I almost prefer him over the Samantha, but it is much louder, much more clear. He refers to yards as yods, but it does sound very, very clear. So
I might also add, we have a Trekker Breeze in Spanish, which we launched. Last summer, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm looking through notes here right now, but I know that I think we have a Danish version and a French version and maybe another Eastern European
sure.
language.
Mm-hmm. Have you updated the maps for the Breeze since the release in 08? Or?
The Breeze is actually, we're working very closely with Navtech to implement a map update for both platforms, the Trekker Breeze and
the
full
Trekker.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, those usually come through Navtech.
Mm-hmm. And I believe they tend to upgrade, I want to say it's every other year, but I would have to double check that. So.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's also a Portuguese version of the stream, and I mentioned that because Navtech has been doing a lot of map work in South America, and we've mm-hmm. also been selling the Spanish version in Puerto Rico.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Is there other new features in the Breeze that are just the voice? Or?
There's several other new features, but we'll have to hold off to find out about those. But there are for those of you who are Breeze users or are looking at it, there are definitely some major navigation improvements. GPS acquisition has improved, mm-hmm. But there's also some new features dealing with landmarks and points of interest that are a lot of fun to navigate.
You can talk about that, actually.
Sure. Okay. Well, I got
because
the approval.
we're looking at an early February launch on this as well, and that will be a free upgrade.
Mm-hmm. So one of the bigger things is the ability to, in the early version of the Breeze, you could do a look around mode to determine what points of interest are really close to you.
Right.
We've definitely expanded that look around mode. I want to say it's a couple miles now where it looks around you for different points of interest, and you can actually now, just as you can with some off the shelf devices, you can clarify whether you want it to be, you know, you want to look for food, you want to look for travel, things like that. So you can narrow down your search, and then you know, we try to keep it as simple as possible with the Breeze, since that's the main purpose of it, is, you know, one-handed usage and very limited learning curve. And so what we did is just with very limited keystrokes, you can now select a landmark and actually go directly to that landmark.
Okay.
It'll basically create a temporary route for you that you can use in vehicle or pedestrian, and it'll take you there. So, you know, like I said, the Breeze is a very different type of GPS in regards to some of the other devices out there. A lot of people say, well, you have the Trekker and then you have the Breeze. Well, why don't you, you know, why both products? And the bottom line is that the Breeze is one, an all-in-one device, and two, it's very simple.
Right, it's the simple version.
Out of the box usage. You don't have to, I mean, literally when we do a Breeze demonstration, I can talk about it for a half an hour in front of people, but they won't understand just how easy it is to use until you take it out. Because literally 20 minutes after I hand somebody a Breeze, they're walking around, going to landmarks, marking landmarks, things like that. Because there's just so few commands that you have to memorize.
Right. Is there still life for the regular Trekker? Is there going to be updates for it? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. We're currently working on a future version for the Trekker. There are going to be updates for it. There's definitely, you know, our platform is still very powerful, and so yes, we do have limited development resources, and so we're determining where we're putting them right now. But yes, there definitely is life for those Trekker users.
Okay. HumanWare also has become, I guess you'd call it, one of the major partners for the Intel Reader, which we've done several other podcasts for. What drove your decision, or why do you feel the Intel Reader is a good buy, or what is the target market for that?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we all know the name Intel. It certainly has a worldwide recognition, and they have a healthcare division, and this is one of the products that they've released on that. And they approached us early, almost 2 years ago. And try to understand the market of visual impairments and blindness, low vision, even learning disabilities, and how they would launch and bring this product to market. And so in our conversations, we came to an agreement in being the exclusive distributor of this product in those markets. And so it's been interesting product. I mean, you yourself and Greg, I mean, you've used different OCR packages, but I find it really appealing to particularly low vision users because mm-hmm. there's a screen on it. You can magnify the screen. It's portable. It has a capture ability to store documents and to read later on it. And there's actually even a capture station so that you can mount the unit on top mm-hmm. and click, and it makes it easier than trying to maybe holding it you know, in your hand with your elbows on the table and positioning it. The units, we started shipping those in November, I think, and the sales have been strong. It's an interesting market. You know, I think that will go into markets that we traditionally, people wouldn't normally use this, maybe a low-tech product, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think I gave the label on one of the podcasts as the Trekker Breeze of OCR.
Right. Should have listened to that before this interview.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny because there's several, as Dominic said, there's several OCR options out there, and when comparing this device directly to those other options, it's sort of an unfair comparison when you look at it, because in regards to doing a spot scan, if I pick up the device and I want to just snap one picture, you know, it may not be as fast as some other devices or on that
right.
you know, par. But at the same time, if I want to take it and scan a full book, if I'm a teacher in a school district, or if I'm a college student, for instance, JJ, if you remember the days of scanning books or anything mm-hmm. like that, you know, it's a long and painful process. But with this device, you can actually, with it in the capture station, I can snap a picture, turn a page, snap a picture very, very quickly. And that's where the Intel you know, processor and memory management of the device really come into play, is the multi OCR support in the background, where I can be snapping pictures and processing images at the same time. It really stands alone in that regard for a portable device like this. And so
How much influence do you have in the product development of the Intel Reader? Are you just able to give suggestions or?
Well, Intel actually pre-launch, we identified some key agencies across the country, and we selected different sectors. So it was education, rehab, low vision clinics. And from that, we asked people who had the time to participate in not really beta testing, but sort of a go-to-market opinions. Sure. and giving them really valuable feedback before they started shipping product. And it was really mixed. You know, some people loved it, and other people who have been using OCR said, well, it's not as fast as my KNFB reader or my Kurzweil system or Open Book. But then there are other really positive things about it. I think Intel's marketing and development team took all of those feedback. You know, it gets to a point at some point where you say, we want to start shipping this product.
Right.
And people will continuously give you suggestions, and if you hold back, it never goes to market.
Right.
And I think probably the best thing to do is get it to market so you can get that feedback, and then from there, you know, make the improvements.
So to answer your question, yes, we do have influence on the product. We do make suggestions to Intel, and we do make recommendations on feature requests and things like that, which as you know, everybody hears with a product development or a product in general, we have a list, and they have a list of new features that are influenced by users. So.
Absolutely. Yep. How is the price point at about $1,500 plus the capture station, considering the hardware that's inside of the unit? How is that price? Do you feel it's justified? Obviously, but,
everybody. Yeah. We've read all of the different blogs too, and everybody would like more for less. And you know, I think it's in line with when you look at the cost of the KNFB software and a phone, it's really at the same price point. And I think what we need to understand is that when you make a product that is developed from the ground up, and you're doing a case and all of that stuff, there's a price involved in it. It's not like taking a phone that's on the market that there are millions of them that are sold, and you can grab off-the-shelf stuff and then add to it. Would everybody love the cost to be less? Sure, we would too, but that's kind of where it's at, and that's what we live with.
Okay. Finally, the word that I'm sure is going to be tossed around a lot this weekend, Orator. It's kind of been one of those long-running projects been going on for you. Mm-hmm. What is the current status of it, and what's holding up the release?
Greg's been involved in the testing, and the holdup on the release has been the constant change of phones. Mm-hmm. The different models. And so we thought we had something at ATIA in October. And we learned actually at the show that the model of the phone that we had been testing was being changed, and that there was new models coming out. And so that slammed on the brakes again. And so we've been in the process of testing phones once they were available to us, because RIM doesn't release things until they're not going to let us talk about a model and test it before they launch it to the worldwide. So that's the kind of stuff that's been going on.
Do you blame them for that? Is that hindering development, or do you have a...
Definitely the model of the phones. As the phones come out, we have to test the platforms. I mean, we can move forward on software and with Code Factory to do that, but if you come out then with a new hardware phone to install it, then you're stuck. So that's really been what's going on. But there's a new model of the phone now that Greg has, I think, just pulled out.
I'm actually going to do a demonstration.
Right.
We do actually have, for those naysayers, we do have a version working on a BlackBerry. I've actually been testing this and using this as my main phone.
To be fair, we had a version working at in the conventions last summer.
We did, absolutely, but this is very, very quality. I actually, as a blind person myself, I use this as my main phone.
Okay.
I can, at first I didn't like the keyboard, but I'll tell you, JJ, I can text like crazy on this thing now. So
what's the lag like as far as pressing keys? I know that was an issue last year.
It's non-existent now.
Okay.
I turn off the speech echo for every key myself, just because I would prefer to hear the words. So upon space bar, I can actually. So what I can do here, just okay. So we're using the Samantha voice. Let me see if I can turn up the volume a little louder.
Messages.
That should be
contact.
Good. There you go.
Calendar. Order for BlackBerry. Calendar. Contact. Messages.
So what I can do is I can go in and I can reply to what I'll do is I'm in a text message and I brought up the menu. I have some options here that I can do to use this text here.
Okay.
Copy. Reply. January 20, 161 of 6.
Okay, so now what I can do is just type in my text, so.
Hello. JJ. How are you doing today?
So, pretty efficient. I can then send that text if I want.
Sure.
Do whatever. So
which phone are you using that on?
This is the... like I said, we've been testing so many phones. I believe this is the Curve 8520, if I remember correctly.
Sure.
I think you're right.
But this is whatever phone it is. It's the one with the trackpad, not the ball. So we have two models that I've been testing. One has the trackpad, and one has the traditional BlackBerry ball in the middle. So this, the product is very, very close. It's actually, much closer than I think a lot of people, there's been a lot of negativity out there at this point, and I want to clear up as a blind user myself, using the BlackBerry, I'm able to get emails. I can do my calendar appointments as a blind professional. It's one of the more efficient phones that I've ever used, to be honest with you. And it's, you know, coming from as a blind person who's never been able to touch a BlackBerry before, it's pretty incredible what they can do. And I wasn't aware of what they could do until I've actually had Orator on there. So,
is it just going to support those latest models, or will it support the ones from a few months ago that you were testing before?
Quite honestly, I
think it's only this model.
I think there's only.
I'm pretty sure it's only.
There's
this
only
model.
This model and possibly one more. I'm not familiar with those. It is this one only.
Yeah, okay. One model.
Right. Yep. So it's.
Does that cover all the carriers, though, or is it going to be limited to certain carriers at launch?
I believe, from what I understand, it's whatever this model supports, and that's something that RIM controls on what phones they enable us to use. But currently there are going to be, of course, updates to the software and implementations down the road on what we can do.
Sure.
But like Dominic mentioned, you know, we need to, before we can make improvements, we need to get the product to people, get feedback, and then understand what we need to do.
And there will be people here from RIM at ATIA that can give us better updates, I guess you should say. But I think that we're pretty close to doing a launch, and hopefully we'll announce something in the next few weeks.
Price point going to remain?
Price point will remain the same, yes. $449, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. How do you justify that? That's a little bit higher than the other mobile phone solutions as far as screen readers.
I wasn't really involved in the pricing, but, you know, it's a joint effort between RIM and Code Factory and HumanWare. I want to clarify that, too, because it really is a HumanWare product. We funded the development with Code Factory.
Right.
So purchases will need to come through
your dealer network, not
right through HumanWare, correct. But the other thing I want to add is that we are talking to major carriers, and so hopefully if we can get them interested, I'm sure that the price will drop.
Right, on contract.
The first thing is getting a product out, though.
And then, of course, the price point is also driven by developing software for a Java platform. This is something that's never been done before
for
a screen reader. We had to create the initial API. We had to create everything from the ground up, and that's been a long and creative process from the beginning. So, the development work has been significantly more on this kind of platform than it has on any other device.
Do you see a day when screen readers are just going to be built into mobile phones? The iPhone is obviously gained a lot of popularity for their built-in screen reader. Do you see a day where other manufacturers are just going to do that by default?
As a blind person, I hope so. You know, I mean, I think that you're with myself and all the other blind populations,
right.
JJ, out there, not to speak for you, but it's one of those things where we, as blind people, want to buy a device, pick it up off the shelf, and use it. And I have to commend Apple for their usage on that, but it's... You know, one of those things that, as of right now, Rim does not. From what I understand, they didn't have the knowledge or what the development to be able to create a screen reader for the blind for a phone like this. So, sure. you have to start from square one, and hopefully down the road we all see that.
Anything else that we should be talking about today, or?
If this is a live from ATIA, I think we can just touch on a few of our.
Yeah, it'll be going up probably tonight or
perfect. Tomorrow. So tomorrow, for people who are interested, there is going to be a BrailleNote Apex presentation. I'm gonna play the role of a history professor for this one and talk about kind of the ground up of how the Apex came to being and kind of where the benefits are in the Apex versus other products and other what we've had compared to the Empower and Classic now with the BrailleNote Apex, and that's going to be at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the Antiqua 1/2 room, 1/2 it says. So.
One and two.
It was a dash. All right, I'm with you.
No, perfect. They're not going to slice the room.
They're not going to cut the room in half for me, so perfect. And then throughout the show here, we're going to have a humanware room that we're going to be using for our own demonstrations. And I believe...
Yeah, this is Boca,
this is Boca, Boca 5.
Boca 5. And we've got a bunch of different activities that we'll have in here. From we'll be doing a session on the stream. There'll be sessions on the GPS, like you said. We will be showing something called the virtual Dream Classroom.
Okay.
That will be a new marketing thing that we're doing on our website, where you can explore a classroom with different types of assistive technology in the room, not only for blindness and low vision, but also learning disabilities. We'll be working with our content providers to do that for the Daisy players. Let's see, what else are we doing
Classmate,
in this room?
There's going to be, we're going to be showing the new Trekker Breeze version, and we're also going to be, for those of you who are going to be at the show, we are going to be doing some Breeze demonstrations outside using what I call off-the-grid travel, right, which is sort of that open area travel, and JJ, you can attest to being here, there's a lot of open area that you have to travel around, so.
Sure, and definitely we'll have coverage of a lot of that on the blog side of Blind Bargains, for sure. If people want to get in contact with Humanware, how should they do that?
The best way to do it through, if you have suggestions or questions, is through our support, support@humanware.com. That's a great email address to get instant feedback. Otherwise, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-722-3393. And that's a good way to get through our customer service or technical support.
Mm-hmm. And for sales and marketing, it's info@humanware.com.
All right. Greg, Dominic, it's been a pleasure for this extended interview. We definitely appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you, JJ.
Thanks, JJ.
This has been another exclusive audio podcast from Blind Bargains. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest technology deals, news, and interviews. So long.